This is how flying should be. That's what a Breeze guest recently said about Breeze Airways. Breeze flies nonstop to Sarasota, Bradenton, and more straight from Long Island MacArthur Airport. Breeze not only makes travel easy and affordable, but they offer flexible and friendly change policies, have high-speed Wi-Fi, and a premium first-class seat called Breeze Ascent. It's time you choose to fly Breeze. What are you waiting for? Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Breeze Airways, seriously nice, in partnership with Visit Bradenton.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 8 o'clock tonight. A little after 6:20, we'll have Ryan Roberts on. Ryan covers both college and pro football for A to Z Sports. But before he was doing that, his main gig was covering the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So he knew all about the Brian Kelly years and early on with Marcus Freeman. So we'll get to talk to Ryan Roberts about that a little after 6:20 tonight. Bob, I want to talk a little bit about
you
the college.
Well, you got the Fighting Irish. You got to start getting the free songs. Na, 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 na.
But I felt bad for Rich. Man, they were so close. Rich Barty.
Yeah.
Had the whole gang from Penn State in the stands at the Orange Bowl. I didn't feel bad for him because I picked Notre Dame. So I got a cutting point there.
Well, the difference, the quarterback.
Oh, Drew Aller. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How can somebody look at that guy and tell you he's ready for the NFL?
But he's a cute, a lot of the women look at the quarterback of Penn State. Oh, he's so cute. Look at those rosy cheeks.
I want to win. I don't give a damn what he looks like.
No, they had to play. Coach Franklin, you had to play for overtime then. They got that one right there. 30-some seconds left. You can't be throwing.
And Drew Aller did announce that he's coming back, which he needed another year of college football. And watching him at the Manning camp, man, Bob, talk about erratic. He's thrown against air. I think he maybe completed 50% of the passes against air. Man, you got some issues, but I know you want to talk about the college football playoff.
Well, and you look at it, a little bit of history between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Now, I said this previously before we went to the top of the hour. Ohio State hasn't lost to the Fighting Irish since 1936. Mike, we're trying to get out of the damn depression as a country. Now, before World War II, when Hitler's taking over, Europe and all that, and laying the groundwork there for fascism. But look at it. That was the last time Ohio State then lost to the Irish since 1936. Now, you have to keep it in perspective. Now, they've only played six games since 1995, but they're 0-6. So since 1995, the Buckeyes won them all. But the most recent were regular season games, Mike, actually in 22 and 23, involving most of the current upperclassmen that were involved in this game in 22 and 23. So they remember that. They're still on the team. And
you always talk about it's in your head.
Yeah, and Ohio State was able to come out on top. But if you look at it, the Buckeyes also beat Notre Dame twice in the Fiesta Bowl at the end of the 2005 season, 2015 season, and at a home-and-home series they had back in 95 and 96. Now, it's been a while since Notre Dame has been in this position. That's why I think Coach Kelly said, I don't know if we can, because academic reasons are different things that come into play. I don't know if we can, truly can win a championship at Notre Dame. We can be relevant, but to win a championship. So
okay, Brian was in the spot Freeman was in, but he got his butt kicked by Nick Saban in Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you look at the last time to play for the first national championship, Mike, was 1988. Man, I was playing with the Saints then. That's how long it's been for the Fighting Irish. But Ohio State, you know, what have you done for them lately? Considering how consistent that program has been, they're going for their first national title since 2014. So that's basically a decade, you know, plus or when you look at it. But I'm looking at the Buckeyes. Not only are in a college football playoff national championship game, but they are the second biggest favorites in the title game since the playoff began 10 years ago. Ohio State, Mike, the question I have for you, would you take the 9.5 points or would you lay it?
No.
You're laying it.
I think Ohio State will win. My thing about that is, Bob, I'm not sure Ohio State didn't play the toughest team they'll play when they played Texas.
Right.
Man, you think about Texas.
And they couldn't win it to overtime. All of a sudden, you think it's going to be 21-20. It'll be 21-21. Then all of a sudden, you get the big defensive play. Now it's 28-14.
Okay. Pete Jenkins has always told me this. Mike, from 20-20, Sark is the best play caller in college football. But look, every year, his teams are in the 90s. This year, they're in the hundreds. Red zone efficiency.
Oh, that ain't good.
For touchdown. So, man, why you call that wide pitch play?
You're not going to outflank the speed of Ohio State.
Oh, Bob, he's not going to outlive that. Again, you had a lot of options, and that's why they pay you a lot of money to be the play caller.
Instead of tricking your opponent, you tricked yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, who am I looking at? Ohio State favored by 9.5 points on Saturday. The only larger line for the championship game, this is like Vegas Insider, occurred 2 years ago when Georgia was favored by 13.5 over TCU. Now, the Bulldogs, not only did they easily cover, they won 65-7. I don't want that kind of game.
No,
they
pulled the dogs off, too, metaphorically. But yeah. That game could have been even worse than that.
Well, and Mike, you look at point spreads. Ohio State's been on the Notre Dame end of that. It was only 4 years ago. Alabama was favored by 9 over Ohio State, and they won 52-24. I just hope it's a good game. I mean, you know, to me, if it's hovering around 9-10 points, that could be a good game because you don't know how it's going to. I just don't want it to be a blowout.
Wasn't it entertaining to watch Ohio State, Texas?
Without a doubt.
Now, at the end, okay, you got the ball popped out. And Sawyer made some big plays in that game. Jack Sawyer, the defensive ends. He picks it up and he runs in for the score.
Mike, whether it's college or NFL, I want to be entertained. The Houdat Nation, we're not in the game. LSU's not in the game. So I want to watch football where it goes back and forth. I don't care if it's low scoring, high scoring. The only entertaining.
Even the wild card round.
Game last night was between Washington and Tampa Bay. The other games, it was like, eh. No,
you
can go cut your grass or do something different.
Normally, that second round is where you might see the upset or two, and you get some really tight games.
Do you think Washington can upset Detroit?
No.
I don't.
No.
I don't.
No, now, I think Detroit wins, and I think they win big.
To me, a Super Bowl game before the Super Bowl was Buffalo and Baltimore. I don't know how that – now, I might be disappointed, but I don't know how that game could not be good. Now, when you look at it, it wasn't good at the beginning of the season – because the Bills got waxed.
The Ravens. Now, remember,
the Ravens stomped them.
Early in the year, really struggled. They lost to the Raiders in week two.
You couldn't figure them out. They were like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. But, Mike, look at the Ravens. Mike, they had stomped them. It wasn't even a game that was entertaining. I mean, but, you know, when you play a team in the season, but look, Mike, so, I mean, who are you going with? The Ravens or the Bills? I don't know.
I'm going with the Ravens.
Okay, yeah.
You can pick the Bills.
Okay. No, I like Derrick Henry.
No, I do know one thing. The big guy, he's a different individual. And he sort of trains his own certain way.
And I like James Cook, too, Mike, but he's not Derrick Henry.
One thing I will say.
James Cook with the Bills.
Yeah, Joe Brady has brought them a rushing attack that they didn't have before he took over that offense as coordinator. You know what their running attack was? Josh Allen.
No, you didn't, Jamie.
Man, look at him now.
No, yeah, it ain't Dalvin Cook, but James Cook.
Man, James Cook is a really good football player. He's not the biggest guy around, but they, you know, he kind of dual sets him at running back. But I see Cook run the same plays Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran for LSU in 2019.
Right.
The exact same stuff.
And I don't know. I would tend to trust Harbaugh over McDermott.
I agree with that.
Come on. You remember, I still don't know how the Bills lost to the Chiefs with 13 seconds left. When they got the lead, and McDermott's in charge of the defense. Think about when that happened, when the Chiefs came back and won that game.
We'll be back with more Second Guess and Ryan Roberts from A to Z Sports right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. Register today for AFSP's 30th overnight walk in New York City, June 21st, as we walk 16 miles from dusk till dawn to stop suicide. Start your journey today at theovernight.org.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from A to Z Sports, Ryan Roberts. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this evening. I got a two-parter to start it off. First of all, the state of the Irish nation. I know you covered Notre Dame for a long period of time. Now you diversified pro in college. The state of the Fighting Irish kind of fan base, everything else. Second question, the biggest difference between Marcus Freeman and the coach that's at LSU today and Brian
Kelly.
Yep.
It's a great question, guys, and I appreciate you guys for having me on, obviously. But I think they are kind of very closely related, obviously, right? Because it felt like for a long time under Brian Kelly, Notre Dame had risen the floor of the program, right? It was about beating the teams that you should always beat, winning a minimum of 10 football games, giving yourself a chance to be in a playoff or at least, you know, in contention of it late into a season. This feels a little bit different because, full transparency, there were some games in the Brian Kelly era where, like, when I was going into it, I'm like, I don't think Notre Dame can win. Like, I just don't. Like, 2020 against Alabama, I could have tried to convince myself, you know, if X, Y, and Z go right, they might have a chance to stay in that football game. But at the end of the day, you just didn't have the team to go toe-to-toe with Najee Harris and Devonta Smith and all these great players, right? But I think for the first time in a long time, and this is speaking from a analyst hat, but also with the fan hat on for a second, because I have grown up a Notre Dame fan my entire life, is this is the first time that I feel like Notre Dame has a chance against every opponent, which is just a crazy thing to say for a program that used to be, you know, one of the greatest programs in the history of college football, but has been a team that has needed to get back to the mountaintop, you know, over the last 30 years, obviously, right? So I think that it is very unique because even though on paper you say, okay, Anthony Knapp, starting left tackle's out now. You've had a string of injuries throughout the year. Benjamin Morrison and Jeremiah Love's had a little bit of a knee issue the last couple weeks, even though he keeps playing. Most people would say eventually that's going to catch up to you. Like, it's just not going to be able to be a consistent thing. At some point, all those injuries are going to add up and you're going to lose a football game. But even with all that and knowing how good and talented Ohio State team it is and what they've been able to do in the playoffs, Notre Dame fans, and myself included, still think they can win this game, right? Like, it's going to take a great effort. There's going to be a couple things that need to roll your way. You're going to have luck at your side in certain instances in the football game, and, you know, those pivot points are going to have to happen. But you still feel like Notre Dame can go toe-to-toe with Ohio State, and they can potentially win a football game. And I think that that's the biggest difference between the Brian Kelly and Marcus Freeman era is, right or wrong, misguided or not, Coach Freeman has infused a optimism in this program and a kind of a bully mentality to a degree, right? Like, even if you're playing against a Georgia, even if you're playing against Ohio State, like, whoever, you feel like you're going to win. And I think that's the biggest difference. And that's a long-winded answer of saying there's a lot of optimism around this program right now, and they think they can win, which is a great starting point, obviously. Now you need to go do it.
Now, speaking of optimism, you can do it twofold. Look at Ohio State and look at Notre Dame where they're at. What was the mindset after, like, how in the hell they lost to Northern Illinois? A directional school. It's not the Fighting Illini or a Big Ten team. No, it's Northern Illinois. But then all of a sudden you win 13 straight games. And then you talk about optimism. I don't think the Ohio State fan base was too optimistic going forward after they lost to a 500 Michigan team. They all ticked off. So it just goes to show you, can you weather the storm and adversity and then go forward? Because to me, that might have been the best thing that happened to Ohio State, how they lost to Michigan. They got humbled. And then maybe you could say the case for the Fighting Irish to win 13 straight after, like, whoa, we just got upset by Northern Illinois. And so you got to look at the whole foundation of both programs to be able to bounce back from that.
I think so. And I would even say, you know, to take it even a step further is I really think that in the world of NIL and the transfer portal right now, it's a lot easier for college football teams to pack it in at some points, right? To say, you know, I'm out of here. I'm not working hard anymore. Like, that stinks. Like, I mean, and honestly, after losing to Northern Illinois when you are the University of Notre Dame and one of the proudest traditions in college football, I wouldn't have blamed some players for not giving up. Giving up's not the right word, but, like, having that mentality of, like, man, like, where is this going? Like, kind of questioning the philosophy and questioning the vision and everything that you put in the details of what is going to make you a winning program, I wouldn't have blamed a single person for having their doubts. And I think you said it perfectly. Like, Notre Dame has used that as fuel, you know, to reel off 13 straight victories, to have the most wins in a single season. Now, obviously, there's an asterisk there because they're playing more games now. But you're 14-1, you've won 13 straight games, and you've beaten along the way, you know, some pretty good football teams, especially the last couple weeks. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they've used it. And I think the great thing that Coach Freeman is, before I get over to the Ohio State side, is that Coach Freeman has continuously mentioned Northern Illinois. Like, he's telling his players each and every week, that's cool, guys. This is a great feeling. But, like, remember how you felt that way, right? Like, when you lost that game and you were the laughingstock of college football and you were an embarrassment to everything, and I was too, then that's the feeling that we need to keep with ourselves. So I think that they did use that. And I think the same thing with Ohio State. You know, being able to go and beat Tennessee the way you did, to beat Oregon the way you did. And, you know, it was a tough physical game, which they ended up obviously getting a late score against Texas. But, like, Michigan woke them up. They did, you know, because I think the biggest question has been, you're Ohio State. You have three standards to uphold. One is to beat Michigan. One is to win a Big Ten championship game. And then one is to try to win a national championship. Well, the last 4 years, you haven't beaten Michigan. You haven't won a Big Ten championship game. And, you know, you have the opportunity to win the national championship potentially, obviously, coming up here soon. So you needed to be able to wake up, because there is a lot of people after the Michigan loss, and I think deservedly so to a degree, saying, man, is Ryan Day the guy? Like, is this going in the right direction? So I think both teams have used those losses to really ignite themselves and to really get the best version of themselves in the most important stretch of the season. And I think that without those two games, I don't think the teams would quite be in the position they are. Like, they needed those, in my opinion.
You know, and the question I have, Coach Freeman, you know, he's the hot commodity now where he's at. Do you think that the NFL intrigues him or not? Because you let him upset Ohio State, and then all of a sudden, oh, will he go to the Bears? Or, you know, the rumors and all are out there. So when you look at it from that perspective, and then if you stay at Notre Dame, is Notre Dame willing? Because academic-wise, it's a tough school. I mean, do you keep up with the Joneses as far as name, image, and likeness and all that, as far as paying players? Because just the way it is, you know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And, you know, just got to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, going forward. So what's your take on that as far as Notre Dame in the future, as far as getting the top prospects to keep up with, like, the Texases, you know, Texas, Texas A&M, or the whole SEC, Ohio State, whatever it might be. And then also, if you're a successful Notre Dame coach and you win a championship, it seems like always the top college coaches get an opportunity to coach or be a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, I think for Coach Freeman's side for a second before I go back to Notre Dame, like, I think the NFL intrigues head coach Marcus Freeman long term? Yeah, I do. I would not be shocked at all if in the future he is in the NFL at some point. But I do think short term, that is not the goal for him right now. So I think that this rumors about the Chicago Bears and, you know, there's going to be others, I think it's premature right now. Now, if this happened 2 to 3 years from now, I would buy it a little bit more. I mean, literally the whole reason that they signed the contract when they did before the playoff even started was people around the program, including Marcus Freeman, wanted kind of the rumor mill and all that type of stuff to kind of die down a little bit, right? Like, you know, I just signed a 4-year deal, not interested, like that type of thing. Unfortunately, he is a hot commodity. He's 14-1. He's 39 years old. There's a lot of attractiveness to him as a head coach, but he's trying to keep that away from him right now. So I don't buy the Chicago Bear thing right now. I buy that Chicago's interested in him for sure, but I don't think that interest is reciprocated now. If this happens in a couple years, you know, if he has a national championship under his belt, if he's won a ton of football games, I think that could definitely be a future endeavor for him. Like, I would not be shocked at all if he enters the NFL. For the Notre Dame side of things, I can just say, you know, pointedly that Notre Dame is very competitive now in NIL. When the portal first started, when NIL started, you know, was legalized and all that type of stuff, there was hesitation, I think, initially, and I think by several programs. I don't think this was just a Notre Dame thing, but I think Notre Dame was kind of, you know, let's not jump in right away. Let's kind of understand what the landscape looks like before selling your soul, for the lack of a better term, right? So they wanted to see what NIL really looked like, you know, what the market would be, how crazy it would be, the chaos, all that type of stuff. And then when they understood it, like, Notre Dame's not afraid to go in the transfer portal. I mean, they just got four kids this past weekend from the transfer portal for their 2025 team, right? So, like, they're not afraid of the portal NIL-wise for the recruiting side. They're going to be smart about it. I think they're going to pay, you know, upperclassmen and recruits and kind of let the rest go throughout the roster to make sure everybody is taken care for the best that they can. But they're not afraid to spend it at this point. But I do think that there is a – there's still a feeling of – let's be wise, right? Like, we're not going to dump, you know, just X amount of money, like $2 million into a kid that is not just not worth that in their estimation, right? So I think they're going to be a little bit wiser with it, but I know that they are very competitive NIL now, and they have, after the first year or so, a little bit hesitant with the transfer portal, they're not afraid to bring in it. Because, I mean, if you look at this team, Riley Leonard was a transfer portal kid, a couple of the wide receivers, Bo Collins, Chris Mitchell were transfer portal, RJ Oben, their kicker, Mitch Jeter, who made the game-winning field goal. Like, they're not afraid to go into the transfer portal. It's just about the right guys and being able to make sure that you're not overspending for the talent or the impact that those guys give back to you.
Ryan, I look at Ohio State's offensive line, and man, when you lose your center like they did, and he was having a really good season. I remember scouting him when he was at University of Alabama, and he transfers to Ohio State, and then, you know, he gets hurt in practice entire season. Man, one thing they got, Ohio State, at left tackle number 74, Donovan Jackson, he didn't get a lot of ink because of the fact you overwhelmed with the two running backs and the receivers and everything. The one thing Texas was able to do was they kind of pushed the pocket. Not, they didn't get a great pass rush, but they got a push up front. And yep, not a lot of teams other than Michigan was able to do that to Ohio State. If Notre Dame doesn't get a push and Will Howard is left to sit back there and throw it to Abuka, and, you know, you got the freshman Phenom. My thing is, if you want to watch a really good offensive lineman, watch number 74, the left tackle for Ohio State, who I think will be in the category when it's all said and done with Kelvin Banks Jr., with Will Campbell at LSU. You got to get pressure on Howard. If not, he's going to pick you apart with that receiving crew.
Well, and Will Howard's played awesome in the postseason. I remember the first game when they lost at Oregon. Will Howard at the end, the clock ran out.
He spit the bit.
And then against Michigan. But the postseason, I'm like, man, if Ohio State plays like that, they're going to beat everybody. They look like an NFL team.
Yeah.
Ryan? They've been excellent. They really have. And honestly, Donovan Jackson had a rough first start. I think Penn State was his first start, and Abdul Carter got him a couple times. But, I mean, Abdul Carter gets everybody. Like, it's not like a knock on Donovan at all. But Donovan settled in the left tackle. I know, you know, fortunately for them, they've made some depth over the last couple of years, because obviously, like you said, you bring McLaughlin in from Alabama. You know, he gets hurt. And you do have, you know, a guy that started a full season in Carson Hinsman, just to kind of put him in at center overall, right? So you've been able to create some depth, which I think is great. I agree with you in the sense of Notre Dame needs to be able to create pressure, but more than anything, they need to be able to affect Will Howard. Because when he is in the pockets and he's cool, calm, collected, and he sees the field well, I think that he's a very good quarterback. And we've seen that for the most part this year. There have been a couple games that have been a little bit cloudy, and they've been cloudy for a couple different reasons. I think one is when you get pressure on a quarterback, I always kind of laugh at the, while this quarterback, you know, struggles more against pressure than he does. I'm just like, isn't that every quarterback ever? But, like, yes, you want to pressure the quarterback, obviously. That makes him makes their internal clock speed up, makes them get into some rash decisions, makes them make mistakes. Like, those things are all very natural, obviously. But I think the other thing is Notre Dame is a heavy man team, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this week, you know, Notre Dame, are they going to go to more zone? Because obviously Will Howard's good throwing against man coverage. You have man beaters all over the place in Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Buka and all these dudes. So I think that Notre Dame is going to switch things up a lot, and I wouldn't be surprised, because they've done this in the past. I mean, Ohio State last year, Ohio State the year before, I mean, they had a great plan against C.J. Stroud 2 years ago against Ohio State, and they were in that football game for a long time. They almost beat Ohio State last year, came down in the last couple of plays of the game. But I really think that when I think the post-snap rotations, you know, kind of hiding your coverage a little bit, making Will Howard think he's seeing something, and then his process had to completely change after the snap, I think that's going to be big. But I think overall, like, Notre Dame is going to win some reps if they are just flat-out four-man rush, get home, no movement, like you just have to beat your man. They're going to do it once in a blue moon. But I think that the way Notre Dame is as disruptive as possible is they really need to have some movement up front. You know, I need some games. I need some twists. I need some stunts. Like, there's going to be any second-level pressures. Like, there's going to be some things I think that Notre Dame is going to have to pull out of their bag. And I'm confident they will, because Al Golden, defensive coordinator for Notre Dame, is a very creative mind and one of the best defensive coordinators in college football. So I would expect some movement up front. I'll expect some second-level pressures. I don't think that Notre Dame is just going to say, we're going to rush for man coverage across the board and just see what we're you know, where our ducks lie. I think that they are going to bring pressure at times. It's just about being smart with it. And I think mix and match and coverage is going to be big for this team because, again, if you just sit back and play man all day against Ohio State, you're going to get torched at some point.
Ryan, I know you do a lot of evaluation. Jeremiah Smith, the only guy that I can remember comes into college football like he's a grown man, was Julio Jones at Alabama. Yep. Now, Alabama didn't throw the football like they're doing today, but Julio was like a 27-year-old NFL player going up against college teams. That's the only guy that I can remember that walks off a high school campus and can do what Jeremiah Smith can do.
Well, and Jeremiah Smith, you have to give
Texas a lot of credit.
No, because they bracketed him.
They did bracket him.
Short and long, you know, double team him and let the other players.
And Ibuka got him.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why pick your poison. I mean, I don't know. That's why you got to affect their quarterback.
Yeah. No, I think picking your poison is exactly right. And honestly, that's why that game was close, you know, into the end, I think, because they were not just heavy man, like they were mixing and matching zone coverage, and they were saying, you know, Carnell Tate, you're going to beat us some. Mecca Ibuka, you're going to beat us early, but like we're not going to let Jeremiah Smith take over the football game because ultimately that's what he can do. Julio Jones is the easiest comparison. Like it is. I remember him when he was at Alabama, wearing number 8 as a true freshman, and people have asked this already, like, have you ever seen a freshman? Like, that's the only one because he was already like 6'3", 6'4", like 220 at that point. Like, he was just a grown man. I mean, there's been some other freshmen that have done really well. Like, Amari Cooper, I remember, had a dynamite freshman year for Alabama as well. But, like, he was more explosive, downfield guy. There's very few guys that just walk in and you're like, that is the most physically impressive dude out on the field, right? So, 6'3", 215 pounds. He's a freaking nature. And, I mean, you're already seeing guys like Dane Brugler over at The Athletic, a draft analyst that I love a lot, that's, you know, been kind of speaking praise and saying, like, that kid would be a top 5 pick this year. And like, there might be slight hyperbole there, but, like, not totally. Like, you just don't see 6'3", 215 moving the way he does. So, yeah, he's a freak show. And fortunately for Ohio State and unfortunately for Notre Dame, they got a couple other ones that are probably going to be in the first round as well in the future. So
that's true. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and your insights, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Ryan.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much. Yep.
All righty. Ryan Roberts does a great job. Originally started covering the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Now he works for A to Z Sports. Does a great job covering the NFL and also college football. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
James, what's James up? Go ahead, James. James, come on. You the GM for the Saints. What's up? He dropped.
Oh, he dropped. Okay.
Man, did James, did he get so choked up? Because you know, James got, you know,
he got a lot of answers.
A lot of answers the direction the Saints should go. So what do you think, Mike? You think that's far-fetched? Because, I don't know, I try to tell fans, and, you know, people don't like the status quo. But you can't be changing just to be changing, you know, the whole thing. And listen, I'm not trying to run Mickey Loomis out of town. I'm not trying to tell Ms. Gail Benson or Dennis Lauscher what to do. But I can tell you one guy that is well thought of around the NFL, and he was part of the Denver Broncos this year, is David Shaw. Sean wouldn't have him around. He's the senior personnel executive with the Broncos. Now, I don't know if Jeff Ireland or Mickey Loomis would be all for that because it's a power struggle, whatever. But I think just sometimes you need an outside influence as far as not necessarily status quo. Now, I think the fans would view, Mike, when you look at it, okay, who's had past relationships with Sean Payton? That's why Aaron Glenn's not good. Oh, I'm not saying he can't coach. I'll say Aaron Glenn with the Jets. Can he play with the Jets? But to say to go with the Saints, a lot of fans might say, well, that's this is still part of Sean Payton and all. You know how people want change? You can't be just changing to be changing. You want some stability.
Bob, I'll be honest with you. Until this opened up today with McCarthy, I thought it was Aaron Glenn, number one choice, and then a big distance for the number two guy.
Well, and Aaron Glenn is still a part of the Sean Payton tree, right?
He's part of the Sean Payton tree.
And when I look at it, the same Dennis Allen defense. I mean, it might be at a better level.
So if Dan Campbell became an open, would you not go for him because he's part of the Sean Payton tree?
I would. That's why I said Vrabel, because that personality. But Dan Campbell, the reason why, not necessarily the tree there, but he's already been a head coach. Aaron Glenn hasn't been a head coach yet.
Okay, that's true.
That's the only reason why I've gone. Now, Mike McCarthy, he's been part of the Saints organization.
But that was eons ago. That's a Jim Haslett, Randy Mueller situation.
And then I'm sure Randy Mueller has a good take on him.
Randy's got a real good take on
him. Right, and all I know is the jobs he's done with developing quarterbacks and experienced quarterbacks. His first gig, he was coaching Joe Montana with the Chiefs, right?
That's a hell of a job, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Are you the quarterback coach for Joe Montana?
And he's dealt with Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Come on, you can't get more extreme than that. He's dealt with Dak, and Dak Prescott. So that's why the bottom line is whoever they bring in, they just got to win. They have to win. I don't care if it's offensive, defensive coach, and you might say, do you roll the dice with Joe Brady? But I think Joe Brady having a lot of success. Come on, Josh Allen's the quarterback. It's not like he's dealing with the Carolina Panthers.
The one thing I give Joe, and Josh Allen is who he is.
But what he
did to bring a running game
without
to Buffalo.
Without a doubt.
He learned the NFL game. Carolina, he didn't understand that
without
the hashes were different in college and pro football. You can't run those same type plays. He learned the NFL, and, man, look what he's brought. He's given them an opportunity to beat the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Without a doubt. And hopefully, like Todd Monken is going to realize that less of Lamar Jackson might be more, like I always said with Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Come on, you got Derrick Henry back there? Derrick Henry's going to help Lamar Jackson be even better. So it'll be interesting to see how Monken, how he's going to, call plays.
You can't do it like you did a year ago.
Right.
Because you can't out Mahomes.
No, exactly.
We'll be back to finish it up here on Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here on the Second Guess show, Mike Dottie along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And when we go off at 7 o'clock right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app, Los Angeles Rams playing the Minnesota Vikings, and Bob, I'm intrigued to the point of how this is going to turn out for the Vikings after the butt-kicking they took last week. And, man, the Rams are an explosive team. And the one area I worry about the Vikings' coverage. Man, they're not great in the coverage part of the game.
Well, Mike, it's going to be almost like a bowl game neutral site. But even in Los Angeles, it wouldn't have been a whole field
advantage. That's almost a bowl game there, too.
Yeah, so the point spread stayed the same, a point and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a pick-up game.
Mike, I'm going with the Vikings.
I'm going with the Rams. So
that'll be interesting. Because Matthew Stafford, I don't know. I like Sam Darnold.
Bobby, end it for us tonight.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
Who that? Go Saints.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up.
Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.